This audio is brought to you by Muslim Central. Please consider donating to help cover our running costs and future projects by visiting www.muslimcentral.com/donate.
Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. Alhamdulillahi rabbil alameen wa salatu wa salamu ala ashrafil mursaleen Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Dear brothers, sisters, we'll be talking today, inshallah, about a great woman in our history, in the history of the Ummah of Islam. Not the Ummah of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but the Ummah of Islam. It's all prophets and messengers who were Muslims. The Ummah of Tawheed from the time of Adam till, inshallah, till the last day on this earth. Anyone who believed in Allah and His messengers and His prophets and messengers, he will be a member of the Ummah of Tawheed. The Ummah of Islam. And Maryam alayhi salam was mentioned in the Quran. She's highly respected in the Quran. She's highly respected in the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and in our Islamic faith. And she was mentioned, some researchers, they said that she was mentioned around 34 times, or her name was mentioned around 34 times in the Quran, in the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And her story was narrated in around 6 to 7 surahs. And she's the only woman who was mentioned by name in the Quran. So the Quran talked about the mother of Musa alayhi salam. He talked about the wife of Fir'aun. The Quran talked about the wives of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Ummahat al-Mu'mineen in Surah Al-Ahzab. And talked about the mother of Maryam herself. Maryam herself. So the name of her father was mentioned, but the name of her mother was not mentioned. So as a conclusion, Maryam alayha salam is the only woman who was named in the Quran among the women that are respected, whether they are related to prophets and messengers, a mother of a prophet or a wife of a prophet, and so on and so forth. And there are some researchers who confirmed that the Quran refers to Maryam alayhi salam more than the Bible does. She is the mother of Isa alayhi salam, but the Quran talks about her story in details. Some details that are found in the Book of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are not found in the Bible itself. And the Quran confirms that she was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala all over the women of the world, Nisa al-Alameen. That's why you have a question here. Sometimes you find this question, من هي سيدة نساء العالمين? Who is the head of all women of the world? Or who is the greatest woman? The answer is, tonight, of course, we're going to talk about Maryam alayhi salam. So there are some other people who, members of other sects, who believe that Fatima alayhi salam, I would say radiyallahu anhu, this is the terminology used by our ulama, Sunni Muslim scholars, whenever they mention a sahabi, whether a female sahabi or a male sahabi, they say radiyallahu anhu, or radiyallahu anhu. May Allah be pleased with him, may Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala be pleased with her. Usually we use the term alayhi salam when we talk about prophets and messengers, with the exception of few women in the Quran, a woman mentioned in the Quran, like Maryam alayhi salam, we say Maryam alayhi salam, or Hawa alayhi salam, or Hajar alayhi salam. These are prophets, wives of prophet, or mothers of other prophets. It is usually makruh to say alayhi salam to refer to another person other than the prophets and messengers, but these women are exception because of their position and their status in the Quran. And there is a hadith, a narration, in which Fatima, radiyallahu anha, when she talked about Maryam, she said, alayha salam. In one of the narrations, I will share some of these narrations tonight with you. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear in Ayah 42 in Surah Ali Imran. And Ali Imran would be translated as the family of Imran. And who is Imran here? Not the father of Musa alayhi salam, because Musa alayhi salam, his father was named Imran. Here we're talking about Imran, the father of Maryam alayha as-salam. So here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this surah, ayah 42, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that the malaika were talking to Maryam. Malaika talked to Maryam alayhi salam. إِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ. And remember when the angels, or mention, O Muhammad, when the angels said to Maryam, O Maryam, surely Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has chosen you. And طَهَّرَكِ, purify you. So talking about purification, she was a pure woman. She was a pious woman. And chosen you over the all women of the world. So this is a clear here ayah. Of course, there are two interpretations. Here, does it mean all women of the world or only the woman of her time? That is the explanation of the other group of people. But most of the Sunni Muslim scholars, they believe that she is the greatest woman at all times. She is the best woman, and we have enough proofs about that. And they said, the ulama who said that she was the greatest woman, alayhi salam, they used this verse as a proof. Ayah 42 in Surah Ali Imran. وَإِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ اصْطَفَاكِ وَطَهَّرَكِ وَاصْطَفَاكِ عَلَى نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ. There is another hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, and its meaning, it's very clear. He said, سَيِّدَةُ نِسَاءِ الْعَالَمِينَ مَرْيَمُ ثُمَّ فَاطِمَةُ ثُمَّ خَدِيجَةُ ثُمَّ آسِيَّةُ. Who is آسِيَّةُ? She was the wife of Fir'aun. So he said, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in this hadith, the best woman among the women of the world is Maryam alayhi salam. Then he used the word, the term thumma, then Fatima radiyallahu anha, then Khadija. Who is Khadija? Is the wife, the first wife of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then Asiya, who was the wife of Fir'aun. So this hadith is very clear, and it is hadith Hassan, classified as Hassan by Al-Allama Ibn Hajar Al-Asqalani. So Al-Rasul Sallam here in this hadith used the term thumma, then, which is, it indicates ranking. Because in other versions, there are many versions of this hadith, sometimes he would use wa, and it doesn't mean ranking. It means that these four women will be the best women in paradise. Four women. They are mentioned in many ahadith. These four women, Maryam alayhi salam, and Fatima, and Khadija, radiyallahu anhuma, and then Asiya, who was the wife of Fir'aun. These four women are mentioned in many ahadith that they will be the best women in paradise. A third proof, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, he said, Fatima, talking about his daughter, radiyallahu anha, سيدة نساء أهل الجنة إلا he made an exception, إلا مريم ابنة عمران. So Fatima will be the head of all women of Jannah, of paradise, except for Maryam, the daughter of Imran. في رواية أخرى إلا ما كان من مريم ابن عمران. So he said Fatima will be the greatest woman in Jannah with the exception of Maryam ابنة عمران, which means that Maryam is the best woman among all the women of paradise, and the second in ranking will be Fatima radiyallahu anha. And this hadith is found in Sahih al-Jami'. So these ahadith are very clear that Maryam alayha salam will be the best woman in Jannah, and she is the greatest woman in our Islamic faith and in the Quran and the Sunnah of our Messenger sallallahu alayhi wasallam. There is something beautiful here about, you know, the status of Maryam in Islam. Could you tell me something about it? Share your thoughts about it. What do you think about it? When you hear that Maryam, who was The mother of Isa alayhi salam, she did not live with Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She's not related to the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Can you give me any feedback about it? We need to help our youth, because some of our youth are looking for guidance in other sources, other faiths, and some of our youth are confused about their deen. But if you study and you think and contemplate, plenty of proofs that our deen is a true religion. Excellent. That is the feedback. Yeah, that is the right feedback. Here, this is a proof that he was a true messenger of Allah. Why? I think you agree. I believe that you agree with me. If he was a fake prophet, if he was a false prophet, why would he honor the mother of another prophet who lived 600 years ago before him and forget about his own mother? Why? He had other wives. Aisha radiallahu anha is not mentioned in this hadith, even though Aisha is mentioned in a different hadith, in a different context, right? And we know that all his wives will be in Jannah with him. Why not my mother? If I was a fake prophet and I write a book for for people and tell them believe in my message, and I want to honor some woman, I would honor members of my family. Imagine Maryam was mentioned 34 times in the Quran, her name. Khadija, her name is not mentioned. Fatima, her name is not mentioned. Amina, who is the mother of the Prophet, is not mentioned at all, because she passed away even before when he was a child. And I don't want to go in details and talk about his parents. That's a different story. But the point is, if he was a false prophet, he wouldn't do that. Her story is one of the best beautiful, the best stories in the Quran, the most beautiful stories in the Quran, right? Why do you honor the mother of another prophet who is supposed to be a competitor? If you are a man of dunya, of this worldly life, and you are a fake prophet and you want fame, right? You don't do that. So this is a proof that Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam was a true messenger of God. Young people, I want you to keep this in mind. Don't forget this. It's one of the proofs. There are many proofs. Many proofs. When we study our deen, we'll discover many proofs. And you'll have yaqeen in your heart that he was a true messenger of God, that Islam is true religion. There's no doubt about it. And we need this yaqeen, because you cannot meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with shirk, with doubt. You need to prepare yourself. You need to study and understand and have this yaqeen, this certainty. When you meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, you go to the grave with yaqeen in your heart. A complete surah was named after Maryam alayhi salam. Complete surah, chapter 19. A complete surah was named about her after her family, the family of Imran. Number 3, Alu Imran. Alu Imran. Who are Alu Imran? They are the family of Maryam. Imran is his father, her father here. So a complete surah, long surah, 200 ayat verses about her family. A complete surah about her. Maybe 98 verses or something, but not the whole surah is about Maryam. The surah of Maryam included other stories, but it was named after her. Was she a prophet? This is one of the questions that some people ask. What do you think? Was she a prophet? Yes.
Well, we know that she had some good stuff, like she had some good things about a prophet, but
she was the mother of Prophet Isa alayhi salam.
Right.
What is the answer? Yes or no? Okay, that's good. What's your opinion?
No, because all prophets were men.
That's right, yeah. So she was not a prophet, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala clearly said it in Surah Al-Ma'idah, وَأُمُّهُ صِدِّيقَةً. And his mother was a Siddiqah. A Siddiqah is a woman of truth. So we have al-Nabiyyun, we have al-Siddiqun, we have al-Shuhada, we have al-Salihun. Right? These are mentioned, these four groups of people are mentioned in Surah al-Nisa. So she was not a prophet, and this is the opinion of majority of Muslim scholars. There is a minority, small group of Muslim scholars who used to believe that she was a prophet. Why? Because Jibreel alayhi salam had a discussion with her. Jibreel came to her, maybe for a couple of times, right? The angels talked to Maryam alayhi salam. So that is their proof. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is saying in Surah Al-Ma'idah that she was a Siddiqa, she was a woman, a great woman who believed, firmly believed. A Siddiq who doesn't have doubt about the signs of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who doesn't have doubt about the existence of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. A Siddiq is someone who believed in the message of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the message of all prophets and messengers and all his books. Now again, talking about her family, as I said, she was the daughter of Imran, and her mother is mentioned as the wife of Imran, Imra'atu Imran, in the Quran. But Imam al-Tabari, he said her name was Hanna, which is Hanna or Hanna in English. Hanna bil-lugha al-Arabiya in English would be Hanna. And she, Imran himself, her father, was one of the descendants of Sulaiman alayhi salam, the son of Dawood alayhi salam. And Hanna was, her mother, was the sister-in-law of Zakariya alayhi salam. So Zakariya alayhi salam and Imran, her father, were married to two sisters. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So this is what the books of history said. And he said, Imam al-Tabari, he mentioned the story. He said, Hanna saw a bird on a tree feeding its young while sitting in the shade of that tree. So, and this scene has awakened her desire to have a child of her own. So she prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to bless her with a child. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted her dua and granted her a child. And of course, we know it's the only child, Maryam alayhi salam, to the best of my knowledge. She became pregnant, but her husband died before Maryam alayhi salam was born. So the father died before Maryam was born. And of course, Hannah expected the child to be a boy. And that's why she made another. She vowed to dedicate this child to the service of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in al-Masjid al-Aqsa, in Bayt al-Maqdis. So she wanted this child to serve Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to be in the Masjid all the time, serving there the deen of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and staying in the Masjid all the time and serving God in the Masjid. But she got a female. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about her feeling in Surah Al-Imran, فَلَمَّا وَضَعَتْهَا قَالَتْ رَبِّ إِنِّي وَضَعْتُهَا أُنْثَى وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعَتْ وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى وَإِنِّي سَمَّيْتُهَا مَرْيَمُ. So Hannah is the one who named her child. In Isa, when we talk about Isa, it's a different story. And then at that time, she made dua to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to protect her child. وَإِنِّي أُعِيذُهَا بِكَ وَذُرِّيَتَهَا مِنَ الشَّيْطَانِ الرَّجِيمِ فَتَقَبَّلَهَا رَبُّهَا بِقَبُولٍ حَسَنٍ. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala accepted her dua and her supplications. And he protected her child. وَأَنْبَتَهَا نَبَاتًا حَسَنًا وَكَفَّلَهَا زَكَرِيَّا. So he entrusted Zakariya with the care of Maryam. Now she said, my Lord, I have delivered a female and Allah fully knew what she delivered. But she made a statement, or he made a statement, we are not sure. Allah made this statement or she made a statement. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. This is very important. وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. And the male is not like the female. There are two opinions who made this statement. Either Hannah herself, the mother, made this statement, or Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in this ayah, وَاللَّهُ أَعْلَمُ بِمَا وَضَعَتْ. Allah knew, fully knew, what she delivered, right? And then came this statement, وَلَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى. Here, feminists need to take notice. We need to explain these kind of ayat and clarify them. Because there are some people who don't feel comfortable with this ayat. even though. I'm talking about Muslims. I'm not talking about non-Muslims. I'm talking about Muslims who sometimes do not feel. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala basically is telling us that the male is not like the female, is a fact. It's like saying black is not like white. There is no degradation that is meant here. There is no bias that is meant. Which means, and this is the Islamic perspective about this concept, gender roles in Islam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created males and females with different capacities, with different skills, with different traits. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled them to play different roles within the family environment and within society. Very simple. If someone tried to discuss with you about why women have to wear hijab, men in Islam, they don't wear hijab, why men are allowed to marry four wives, women are not allowed to marry four husbands, and so on and so forth, why women are supposed to pray at the back in the masjid and not with men, because we received this request. This request from some community members. Why do you allow women to come and pray with you here? Okay, so you live in this environment, you know what I'm talking about. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when Allah said, لَيْسَ الذَّكَرُ كَالْأُنْثَى, there is no discrimination here. It doesn't mean any. It means that they are different. Allah created them with different characters, different characteristics, different skills, different capacities. And they are supposed to play different roles in society and within family environment, and that's it. Very simple. Don't make it complicated. In different ayat, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, none of them will be wronged. Like مثلا, we have in Surah An-Nisa, وَمَنْ يَعْمَلْ مِنَ الصَّالِحَاتِ مِنْ ذَكَرٍ أَوْ أُنْثَى وَهُوَ مُؤْمِنٌ فَأُولَٰئِكَ يَدْخُلُونَ الْجَنَّةَ وَلَا يُظْلَمُونَ نَقِيرًا. So in Surah An-Nisa, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, those who do good, whether males or females, while they believed in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then they will enter paradise and they will not be wronged. So both of them will be given their rewards. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will appreciate the efforts of men, males on this earth, and He will appreciate the efforts of females on this earth. But both of them have different, as I said, roles to play on this earth. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will treat them in the same way on the Day of Judgment. So she said, I have named her Maryam, and I seek your protection for her and her offspring from Shaytan, the accursed. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that He accepted her dua, accepted Maryam graciously, and blessed her with a pleasant upbringing. So she was a pious girl. She was pure, a pure child, alayha as-salam. Now, Zakariya alayhi salam used to take care of her. You know the story in Surah Ali Imran, the other priests, other people were competing, and they made, they used some draws to pick a name. Who would take care, pick the guardian, to select the guardian of Maryam before she went into the masjid. And the name of Zakariya appeared. And he was the father, the husband of her aunt, the husband of her aunt. So he should be the one who take care of her at that time because her father passed away, right? Now, Zakariya, Allah told us, كُلَّمَا دَخَلَ عَلَيْهَا زَكَرِيَّ الْمِحْرَابَ وَجَدَ عِنْدَهَا رِزْقًا. Whenever Zakariya entered the mihrab to visit Maryam, he would find some sustenance with her. And he would ask her, where did you get this food? Now, the ulama, they said, he used to ask her because this is another miracle that was given to, saintly miracle that was given to Maryam alayhi salam. She was blessed with winter fruits in the summer. And she was given summer fruits in the winter, during the winter. That is the interpretation of the ulama of tafsir. Wallahu ta'ala alam. That's why he was like asking, from where he got this food? Because if it was from him, or if it was normal food, seasonal food, then he wouldn't ask this question. But it was, to him, it was something unusual. And she said, her reply was, this is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Verily, Allah provides sustenance to whom He wills without limit. بغير حساب. Now, Zakariya alayhi salam was inspired, even though he was a prophet, but he was inspired with this, with Allah's provision to Maryam. Because this is a kind of miracle, right? So, and he was a childless, and he became old, and he became weak, and his wife was barren. She was not able to give, to bear children. And his wife was old. But he thought, since Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is giving Maryam fruits, winter fruits in the summer, and summer fruits in the summer, I will ask him for a child. So he made a beautiful dua for those who, any father, any parent can make this dua, including those who have children. It's a beautiful dua in ayah 38 in Surah, immediately when he left from her place, he made this dua. هُنَالِكَ دَعَى زَكَرِيَّ رَبَّهُ. This is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said. قَالَ رَبِّ هَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَى. Oh my Lord, grant me from you a good offspring. You are indeed the all-hearing of invocations. So if someone is newly married and he's hoping to get pious children, righteous children, to be blessed with righteous and pious children, this is a good dua to memorize, the dua of Zakariya alayhi salam in ayah 38 in Surah Ali Imran. رَبِّ هَبْ لِي مِنْ لَدُنْكَ ذُرِّيَّةً طَيِّبَةً إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَى. And إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَى, also you can use it with other duas. It's a way of seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. التوسل بأسماء الله الحسنى. Seeking nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala by using some of his names and attributes in your dua. And this is the best way to seek nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala when making dua. So you mention some of his names, some of his attributes. One of them here, إِنَّكَ سَمِيعُ الدُّعَى. Verily you are the all-hearing of all invocations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala hears all supplications. There is no doubt about it. And then on the same page, we're talking about her story in Surah Al-Imran. Later on, we'll talk about her story in Surah Maryam. Here, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that angels used to encourage Maryam to increase her qunut and her ruku' and her sujood. This is a proof that they used to perform sujood and ruku' in their prayer. Ya Maryam, qunuti li rabbiki wasjudi warka'i ma'a al-raki'in. This is ayah 43 in Surah Ali Imran. O Maryam, be devout to your Lord, prostrate yourself in prayer and bow along with those who bow down. So why? There is a hikmah, there is a wisdom behind it. This spiritual engagement in dhikr, in dua, in salat, is highly needed for those who are, who are trying to create some positive change within the community. Those who are supposed to face other people who carry other ideologies, especially false ideologies, who are doing da'wah to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. These du'at, these prophets and messengers, we're supposed to have nearness to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to have this close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the best way to have this close relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is to be fully engaged in ibadah. So you don't forget about your ibadah. You need this help. This is this is the way we get Allah's support and Allah's assistance when we are trying to spread the deen, when we are trying to make a positive change. You cannot call people, encourage them to do ibadah and give zakat and pray and do qiyam al-layl, pray on time, while yourself you are not doing these things. Plus here, Maryam will be facing, alayhi salam, will be facing a very difficult test. A very difficult, extremely difficult test. I believe there is no woman who faced the same test, right? Because what will happen? She will come to her family with a child. And she will tell them about his miraculous birth. that I got this child without the involvement of a male partner, without a father, without a husband, without the involvement of a male partner. They call it the virgin birth of Isa alayhi salam. And people are not used to it. They're not familiar with this. They know for people to have children, they need to have the involvement of both parties, man and woman. This is obvious, right? Everyone knows that. This is basic knowledge. Now she's coming with something new. And that's a very tough test, especially woman for woman. A pious woman cares about her honor and dignity and sharaf and reputation. It's not something easy. So here the malaika were encouraging Maryam to get involved, increase her ibadah and her ruku' and sujood, because they knew this malaika, they knew that she will face a very tough test in the future. Now Maryam alayhi salam later on got the news about her baby from the malaika, and this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said in Surah Ali Imran. Again, we're talking about Surah Ali Imran, ayah 45. إِذْ قَالَتِ الْمَلَائِكَةُ يَا مَرْيَمُ إِنَّ اللَّهَ يُبَشِّرُكِ بِكَلِمَةٍ مِّنْهُ اسْمُهُ الْمَسِيحُ عِيسَى بْنُ مَرْيَمُ وَجِيهًا فِي الدُّنْيَا وَالْآخِرَةُ وَمِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. This ayah 45 in Surah Ali Imran mention, O Muhammad, when the angels proclaimed, O Maryam, Allah gives you good news. So they are preparing here, Maryam, preparing her. This is what is called psychological preparation. She didn't get pregnant, and then she found later on that it was a miracle and her child will be a prophet. No. She got the news before, as I said. And this is some sort of psychological preparation. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is preparing her for this event to make it easy for her. And the malaika used a very nice language. Inna Allaha yubashshiruk. Allah is giving you good news. Good news of a word from him. Why Isa alayhi salam was called a word? Kalima. Because he was created with a kalima from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Kun fayakun. What is the kalima? Kun. Be. And he was. So that's why he is called a kalima in the Quran. And his name will be the Messiah, Isa, the son of Maryam. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala named him. She did not choose the name of her child. It was chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Because the malaika are telling her here, he will be called the Masih, Isa ibn Maryam. Usually people are referred to their fathers, but he has no father. So people will call him Isa ibn Maryam. Honored in this world and the hereafter. So they are giving her the good news. Don't worry, your child will be an honorable man, and he will be highly respected in this dunya and highly respected in the hereafter. And he will be one of those nearest to Allah, وَمِنَ الْمُقَرَّبِينَ. So this language here is meant to make it easy. Yes, she must have been shocked and surprised. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us about her reaction. She was surprised and she was shocked. How can I have a child when no man has ever touched me? That was her response in Surah Al-Imran and her response in Surah Maryam. Now here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is telling us that they are the angels who gave her this news. In Surah Maryam, it is Jibreel. So how can we reconcile between the two? In Surah Ali Imran, Allah is telling us, the angels told Maryam about this news. In Surah Maryam, Jibreel appeared in front, came to her. He appeared in front of her in the shape of a man, and he told her the news. And she was surprised. Allahu alam, the ulama, they said there are possibilities here. One of the possibilities that Jibreel came with a group of angels. They came together. But the one who had this conversation, the one who told her about this news, is Jibreel alayhi salam. But he didn't come by himself. He came with a group of angels. Wallahu ta'ala alam. This is one of the possibilities. We're not sure about it. But this is how the Quran described this story. In Surah Al-Imran, angels told her. In Surah Maryam, it is Jibreel who told her. We can reconcile between these two stories or versions this way. The Quran, as I said, used the word Bishara to make it easy, because Bishara is good news. Yes, it will be a tough, you know, test, but at the end, your child will be a prophet, he will be a messenger, he will be honored in this dunya, he will be honored on the Day of Judgment. So making it easy on her. In this ayah, Isa alayhi salam, as I said, he was called the word of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he was created with the word be. And we learned from this ayah, as I said, 45, that it is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala who named him Isa. Now, why was he called al-Masih? That's a very good question here. Because we have al-Masih al-Dajjal, the false Messiah. And we have al-Masih, Isa alayhi salam in the Quran. The only one who was called al-Masih is Isa alayhi salam. No one got this name or this title in the Quran except for Isa alayhi salam. There are different interpretations, but the most correct one, Wallahu A'lam, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enabled him to cure people with his miraculous power to touch people and then they will be healed. Whenever he touches someone who is sick with his hand, then this person will be cured and he will be fine and he will be healed. So that's it's a power that was given to him by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. He used to give life to the dead, right? So that was his miracle, alayhi salam. They said tib, medicine, was very common at that time. And during that time, the society used, many people who used to profess, you know, the mihna of medicine. So maybe Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave him this power, this miracles to challenge the people of his own society. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Like Musa alayhi salam was given another miracle, which is turning the stick into a snake, because his people were known of mastering, you know, the science of magic, if we were to call it science of magic, right? They had some of the famous magicians at the time. They used to practice black magic, right? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent Musa alayhi salam with the specific miracles, turning a stick into asa, into a snake, to challenge, you know, their own power or their own skills. Al-Masih al-Dajjal, no, al-Masih, the false Messiah, he was called al-Masih because they said one of his eyes will be defected. One of his eyes will be blinded, and that's why he was called al-Masih al-Dajjal. These are two different, you know, reasons for naming them, Al-Masih alayhi salam and Al-Masih al-Dajjal, two different reasons. Now, her story in Surah Maryam is a little bit different. It tells us about the pregnancy, about the pains of labor, about her delivering the child, coming to her family, about the miracle of Isa alayhi salam speaking and talking while still in the cradle, while still a baby. So these are details, extra details, that we received in Surah Maryam. And it started with the location. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us that she withdrew from her family to a place in the east. What east? Allahu alam, maybe it could be the eastern part of the city. She screened herself off from people. She wanted privacy. And that was her habit, alayhi salam. Whenever she goes to the masjid, she would choose a private place and she would start worshipping Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That was her habit, to worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in privacy. Then Angel Jibreel. So in Surah Maryam, the surah doesn't talk about the other angels. It talks about Jibreel coming to her in the shape of a man. And she sought refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from him. Why? Because she was a pure woman. And she was in her private place, chamber, and then a man came to her, appeared in front of her. What do you want? Leave me alone. So she sought refuge in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from this man, and his reply, I am only a messenger from your Lord to bless you with a pure child. So it is him who conveyed, Jibreel alayhi salam, who conveyed the message to Maryam alayhi salam. And her reaction was the same like in Surah Al Imran. How can I have a child when no man has ever touched me and I am not an unchaste woman? That was her reply. And his reply, he said, this is something that was decreed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, which means you can do nothing about it. This is the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It was a decree made by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and Isa, your child, will be a sign for humanity and a mercy from us. So that was the end of conversation between Maryam alayhi salam and Jibreel alayhi salam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala continued. He said, then she conceived him and withdrew with him to a remote place. Of course, it's understood. Now she is in a very difficult situation. She went far away from people. And she decided to stay by herself. مَكَانًا قَصِيًّا. Like Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala described it in Surah Maryam. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the same surah, he told us that the pains of labor drove her to a trunk of a palm tree. She wanted to, you know, stay beside this palm tree. And she wished that she had died. It's a moment of weakness. It's normal. No mother around, no father around, no family, no sister, no friends around her. She was alone. She's a woman. And now she's pregnant. And she knew that her pregnancy is not usual, right? It's something out of this world. It's a miracle. But who will believe? Who would believe that it's a miracle? But Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, of course, will make it easy for her. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will support her with different miracles as a proof for her people to believe in her, to believe that she was a pure woman. فَنَادَاهَا مِنْ تَحْتِهَا. So a voice reassured her after she said, I wished I died before this. Right? She was sad. So فَنَادَاهَا مِنْ تَحْتِهَا. There was a voice. What kind of voice here? So a voice reassured her from below her, do not grieve. Your Lord has provided a stream at your feet. A stream of water. So she had water. And then the same voice told her to shake the trunk of this palm tree. It will drop fresh and ripe dates for you. So she got water and she got ripe and fresh date from that palm tree. Right? But she was asked to shake the... Imagine a woman who is pregnant. Some ulama use this as a proof that we always have to do our homework. Tawakkul, placing our trust in Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, always includes some action. Like Musa alayhi salam was asked to do what? To hit the sea with his stick. If you hit a sea with a stick, do you think the sea will be divided into two parts? It will not happen, right? And it's nothing. This is something huge, dividing the sea into two parts. But the ulama said, this is a sign, this is a proof that we always have to do our part, we do our homework. So the tawakkul always include some action from our parts. We cannot just have tawakkul and do nothing. And it makes sense. Wallahu ta'ala alam. Now, who called her, who talked to her? There are two interpretations. The first interpretation, they said, it's her child, Isa alayhi salam, who was in her womb. He talked to her. And that's another miracle if this is true. The other interpretation, they said it was Jibreel. She was on the top of a hill, and Jibreel was down, was in the area, and he's the one who called her. Two interpretations in the book of Tafsir. Allahu A'lam. We don't have a hadith from Rasulullah SAW. Was it Isa alayhi salam who told her, do not worry, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will bless you with some water, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you with some dates? Was he Isa alayhi salam, or was he Jibreel? We don't have a hadith from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, but these are two famous opinions in the books of Tafsir. And the voice told her, so eat and drink and put your heart at ease. But if you see any of the people, say, I have vowed silence to the most compassionate. نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا. So I am not talking to anyone. And this is also to make it easy on her, because someone in her situation, he would be thinking about what? If someone comes by, if someone would see me now, and he would see me with this child, he would think that this is an illegal child. She's a human being, right? She was a human being. She was not an angel. And this is what goes usually in the mind of a woman in her situation. If someone passes by and sees me in this situation, he would think that this is an illegal child and I had an illegal relationship. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it easy on her. He said, if you see anyone say, نَذَرْتُ لِلرَّحْمَنِ صَوْمًا. Sawma, I'm not fasting. It's fasting from speaking. I'm not going to speak to anyone today. I vow to the most compassionate silence. I'm not speaking to anyone. So to make it easy on her, this is the instruction that she received from either Isa, her own son, or Jibreel alayhi salam, wallahu ta'ala. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told us in the next ayah, فَأَتَتْ بِهِ قَوْمَهَا تَحْمِلُهُ. And that's the test here. He said she returned to her people carrying him, carrying her baby. And of course, they said in shock, O Maryam, you have certainly done a horrible thing. You have done a horrible thing. And then they said, Ya Ukhta Harun, O sister of Harun, your father was not an indecent man, nor was your mother unchaste. Now, Ya Ukhta Harun, did she have a brother? His name is Harun? Most likely not. But they said, O sister of Harun, your father was not an indecent man. This is how they used to address noble people and religious people and members of noble families who are related to Harun alayhi salam. So most likely the tafsir and the most correct interpretation of this ayah that she didn't have a brother, because to the best of my knowledge she was the only child to her parents. But Harun here, it's like a way, we have the Arabs in the old days, when they meet someone and they don't know his name, they say, Ya Akhal Arab, Ya Akhal Arab, O brother of the Arabs. It's like they want to show respect to this stranger and they don't know his name, they say, Ya Akhal Arab. In their society, if they respect someone and he's one of the descendants of Harun alayhi salam, they would tell him, Ya Akha Harun or Ya Ukhta Harun, to indicate that this man or this woman is one of the descendants of Harun alayhi salam, because they used to respect Harun alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. These are senior prophets and messengers. Musa alayhi salam lived before Maryam and Isa alayhi salam and Zakaria and Yahya. The gap between them, the time, is around maybe 1,000 or 1,200 years. Around 1,200 years or more sometimes, you know, some books of history, they said 1,200, 1,250. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. That's a long period of time. Anyway, this is the most correct interpretation. Wallahu ta'alam. What was her response? فَأَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ. She pointed to the baby. Talk to him. Have nothing to do with this. And why did she do it? She knew that he will speak. Allahu alam. But she أَشَارَتْ إِلَيْهِ. She pointed to the baby. And of course, they were surprised. They wanted us to talk to a baby in the cradle that was there. That was their reaction. So at that time, Isa alayhi salam spoke. Isa alayhi salam spoke. And this is a miracle. And this miracle should end everything. Like, because there are still some people from Banu Israel who accused Maryam of committing zina. Alayhi salam. They accused. And until now, there are some people who belong to this faith groups, Banu Israel, with their Christians. Most of the Christians maybe believe that she was a chaste woman. But the other part, the other sect, the other, mainly the Jews, they did not believe in her story. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. So anyway, Isa alayhi salam, he said, I'm a servant of Allah. I'm destined to receive a book and destined to be a prophet. He has made me a blessing, mubarakan, aynama kunt. Wherever I go, he commanded me to establish the prayer, to give the zakat, and to be kind to my mother. And he has not made me arrogant or defiant. That was his speech. He gave them a muhadara, a speech, a talk at that time. And this is enough. It should have been enough. And I guess, I don't know about the reaction of people at that time of her family, But this is what the Quran told us. She, based on the books of history, she lived after that a long period of time. We know that Isa alayhi salam was taken by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to heaven at the age of 33. But she lived after that a long period of time, but the Quran doesn't tell us about her life after this event. It doesn't give us details about her life. Because this is the most difficult moment in her life. She was tested with this test, and that's why she was called a Siddiqa. She was blessed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and maybe because of this test, difficult test, she was chosen to be, inshallah, the greatest woman in Jannah. And as I said, Fatima radiallahu anha, the daughter of our Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, will be second in rank. And as I said, we can use this knowledge as a proof that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was a true messenger of God. Now, if you study about her story in the Bible or some other books written by Christian authors, they might mention the name of Yusuf al-Najjar. Yusuf al-Najjar, Joseph the carpenter. Who is Yusuf? We don't have any proof. His story was not mentioned in the Quran. His relationship with Maryam was not mentioned in the Quran. In the books, in the Christian sources, they said that they were formally engaged. Formally engaged, fiancé. He was her fiancé. But we cannot confirm it. We cannot confirm it. You cannot confirm this information. Wallahu ta'ala a'lam. Ibn Kathir confirmed in his book, he's a famous mufassir, he said that he was a pious man and he was serving in the masjid in Bayt al-Maqdis, and he knew about her story, and he had some doubts, like everyone in her circles. And he asked her one time, "Do you know any plant which grow without a seed? Do you know any woman who gave a child without a father?" And she told him, "The one who created, who created the humans, he created Adam alayhi salam." She gave him, reminded him about the story of Adam, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala created him without a father and without a mother. And she reminded him that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, for the first time, he's the one who created plants and trees and created everything. So she reminded him about the power of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I'm talking about this, what Ibn Kathir said about this man, Yusuf al-Najjar, Joseph the carpenter. And they said he believed her, and later on he supported her and helped her. He was a member of the community or related to her, I'm not sure. But in the Christian sources, they said that he was her fiancé. They were formally engaged before she got pregnant with Isa alayhi salam. But we don't have this confirmation. We don't have a solid knowledge that confirms this information about Yusuf al-Najjar, not in the Quran, not in the Sunnah of our Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That was her story, Maryam alayhi salam. As I said, her story was mentioned in 6 or 7 surahs. We focus today on her story in Surah Ali Imran and Surah Maryam, and this is enough. She was briefly mentioned. Her story was briefly mentioned in other surahs, but these details are found in these two surahs. One of them named after her family, the family of Imran, and the other one was named after herself, Maryam, Surah Maryam. فنسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يفقهنا في الدين ونسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يفتح لنا أبواب رحمته نسأل الله سبحانه وتعالى أن يرزقنا الجنة أن يرزقنا الجنة وأن يجعلنا من أهل الفردوس الأعلى جزاكم الله خيرا وبارك الله فيكم